and forms. And we've got Dave Sweeney on the line. He's, of course, from ACF as well as ICANN. G'day, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, Annie. I'm very well, thanks.
And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you is because I had this distinct impression that Dutton was doing his job application to the Americans with his announcement Australia's future was as a nuclear waste dump. And apparently you were at a Senate committee hearing last week and there was a bit of a flavour of that as well.
There was, absolutely there was. And, you know, if Dutton was filling in those forms, he'd just be following the footsteps of his predecessor, you know. Let's not forget that Scott Morrison, after foisting AUKUS on Australia, has now gone off to work with a US security company with direct links to them. But your point about nuclear waste, that's one of the really big concerns about the AUKUS proposal, you know, the proposal to buy some second-hand American submarines, run them for a decade or so, and then we inherit 100,000 years of high-level waste, which we need to isolate and manage for that period of time. So really significant. And it's something that hasn't happened before in Australia, and bureaucrats and politicians are, to varying degrees, grappling with what that means. Part of that is that there is a new piece of legislation, Annie, that aims to set up a dedicated military nuclear regulator. So all the civilian stuff stays with the regulator that's existed for 25 years in this country, set up by the former Howard government, and done a reasonable job. But they want to keep all the military stuff, the future arising.
Because when you're talking about this, you're talking about nuclear waste that comes for medical purposes.
Yeah, with the civilian stuff, it's from the Lucas Heights reactor, it's spent fuel that's been generated in creating medical isotopes, industrial isotopes, and a whole range of research applications. So that is the civilian stuff, the stuff that we've had fights over siting where to put waste dumps for decades, and it's been a problem and remains a problem itself. The military stuff, any orders of magnitude. Rule of thumb is the civilian stuff you have to isolate for 10,000 years, the military stuff for 100,000 years. So Richard Marles has introduced legislation saying, leave all the military stuff to us and we'll look after it. Now, when you look through that legislation, and I spoke to a Senate committee a week ago on this, there are massive shortfalls. You could literally drive a radioactive truck through the holes in this. There's limited transparency, limited accountability. It's set up and housed within defence, answerable to defence, directable by the Minister of Defence. All the principles of regulatory independence do not apply. It's woefully inadequate. But the really scary thing from the perspective of ACF and many people, including many First Nations people, is that there is an explicit doorway, a portal to poison here, where Australia could host, under this legislation, military waste from the US and the UK. Now, they've had nuclear submarines for 60 years. Those submarines, none of them have been decommissioned. None of the waste has been sorted. They remain tied up at docks and rivers around the UK and the US. And we're really concerned that this is setting Australia up, like you mentioned in the introduction, to be a soft touch for a very hard issue.
Yeah, you know, I had already decided that AUKUS was one thing, but really the big question was nuclear waste. That's what's really behind all this. They think Australia is just not just a great big hole in the ground, but they think, a desert, we're going to put everything in there and bury it, and then we can get on with our money-making concerns.
There is a real threat of that. There is a real threat of radioactive terra nullius about how people, both Australians, some Australians, and some international viewpoints view our country. It's as quarry and dump, you're right. And we have seen, and we have fought off before, two very serious and considered attempts by international consortia to locate global high-level radioactive waste dumps in Australia. Now, our concern is that having this now under the framework of defence, national security, all the exclusions and the overrides and the national interest provisions that come with that sort of draconian legislation, Annie, is that, you know, that this is a sort of backdoor way. So we're calling very clearly on the government, while this is in a bill form, it's not law, to change that. This is, like, AUKUS is a bad plan. It shouldn't be advanced, but, you know, let's at very least, shut the door to the prospect of hosting international radioactive waste in this country.
There's something really disturbing about the way modern politics and governments are manoeuvred by public relations strategies, as opposed to what it's really like in the real world. And this is a really clear example of it to me.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. The primary driver of government is not public interest, but public relations. And it's not, advancing really, inclusive outcomes. It's making secret deals. Now, that is happening across economic activities. As Kevin Healy in his Wrap of the Week, that was the week that was, highlights, it happens right across the board in policymaking. It's particularly happening at the moment in a really concentrated, distilled and pressured way, Annie, in relation to nuclear issues, in relation to both civilian positioning and military positioning. So nuclear issues are a constant in sort of Australian politics, but generally, like, sort of, not the front page. But lately we've seen Peter Dutton come out and say, after a decade of worse than denial on climate, actively facilitating climate chaos, our new policy, the foundation plank of it for climate and energy, is going to be embrace nuclear, the highest cost, riskiest and slowest of the energy options. It's absurd, but it's getting some traction. Then we've got the military dimension with AUKUS. In the last 10 days, we have given $3 billion to the US defence manufacturing sector, $5 billion to the UK defence manufacturing sector, and allocated $8 billion, which is being spent now, to upgrade HMAS Stirling near Fremantle to be effectively a permanent port, although they won't use those terms, routine rotation, a permanent port for US nuclear submarines. Now, that's a lot of money and a lot of risk and a lot of locking ourselves into things that aren't beneficial to Australia and haven't been discussed, considered or even known by Australians. So that is a real threat to democracy.
Oh, and yeah, look, it's just outrageous stuff. And, I mean, we reported on the peace walk against AUKUS, which started in Port Kembla, and they were saying that last night, it was on Wednesday, the conversation was held on Wednesday, that when they camped, some woman set the police on them, and her objection was, we need nuclear submarines.
Yeah,
obviously there's some traction out there amongst the general public that sustainable energy has got a dark mark on it, and that nuclear is a great saviour.
There is some concern about that, but if you sow fear and mistrust and misinformation, that's your sort of harvest. But the question of the renewables versus nuclear sort of issue is a really interesting one, because. But the clear situation that we're facing here, Annie, is that in 10 years, we have to retire, not just because of community activism or environmentalists, but because of ageing infrastructure and real-world economics. We have to retire 80% of coal from our national electricity market in 10 years. Now, I remember 10 years ago, and I'm sure things will be here in 10 years' time. In 10 years, 80% of coal is out of the market. That's not, a Greens policy. That is what's
just
happening.
Reality, yeah.
So the challenge for all the politicians and all of us is how do we keep the lights on and the planet cool in that context? And the only one that can bring it home, the only one that's proven deployable, feasible, is the suite of renewables. Nuclear is pie in the sky.
Yeah.
The stuff that exists costs a fortune, takes forever, time overruns, it's too little, too late. And the stuff that Ted O'Brien goes around, small modular reactors that power your house and then vacuum the carpet, they don't exist. There's not one in commercial deployment anywhere in the world. So take nuclear off the table, and what you've got is either continued fossils or renewables. And our choice is really clear. From the perspective of environmental groups and a whole range of other voices, we need to supercharge sensibly, because you're right, there are problems. Nothing's without cost or consequence. We need to sensibly supercharge the uptake of renewables, and anything that gets in the way of that is threatening jobs, lifestyle, security, environment, everything in 11 years' time.
Thanks, Dave, for talking to us.
Absolute pleasure. All the best.